Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
All Christmas season, and we're going to spend a couple weeks thinking about some things in that area. For instance, today we're going to talk about what the Bible says about Jesus. Next week we're going to talk about what the Bible says about Mary. And in the third week we're going to talk about what the Bible says about Israel. And so we'll look at those, because those are all prominent themes in the season that we call Christmas. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" I suspect if we asked people that question today on the street, we might get some answers. He was a good man. He was a prophet. Some might say the Son of God, but have no real understanding of what they mean by that. So Jesus goes on in Matthew 16:15. He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Then Simon Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And indeed, that is the most important question and answer a person can hear and give. Today we want to flesh that out. Who is Jesus? What claims does the Bible make about him? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at six facts the Bible teaches and declares about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we have a full understanding of who he is. First, he is the sovereign of the universe. In John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. Now see how that sounds? The Word was God, but he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. What's that mean? It means he's the creator. But wait a minute, what does Genesis say? Genesis says, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And right there at creation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important to understand that. Because we understand, as we understand the scriptures as thoroughly as we should, God reveals himself as three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the act of creation, Jesus was there. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Jesus is fully God. And that's important. He is the sovereign of the universe. We're not just talking about a mere man. We are talking about God Almighty, the sovereign of the universe, Jesus the Son. Secondly, then, he is the Son of God. John 1:31. I myself, John is speaking here. He says, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John 1:32, and John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. He said, I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen, he says, and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now, to say that in the day that Jesus lived would be considered blaspheming. And the Jews would immediately react to that statement, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Some 3 years later, Jesus is before Pilate, and the Jews are crying for him to be crucified. Pilate said, why? I find no fault in him. Listen to the response of the Jews. John 19:7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. John 5:18. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Why? Why? Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now we call God our Father. God is our Heavenly Father. But our claim has nothing to do with equality. We are placed into the family of God through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what Jesus was claiming. He was claiming that God was his Father, which was a claim of deity, making himself equal with God. And John 20:30, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but notice what it says. But these were written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So not only is Jesus the sovereign of the universe, fully God, he is also the Son of God. And that's important for us to understand that. And not in the sense that we are children of God, but in a very unique sense. The Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. The Bible teaches that he had another title, which was the Son of Man, and he made claims about himself. Here's what he says in John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now in the New Testament, Son of Man is used 43 times as a distinctive title of the Savior. What it denotes is the true humanity of our Lord. He wept. He suffered physical pain. He hungered. He was tempted. And he could die physically. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so he takes that title that he was the Son of Man, and he could identify with us in every way. He could feel what we can feel as human beings. As a man, he could die because his body was 100% human. Our bodies die, and so could his. When he died, when we die, our physical body dies, but our soul and our spirit remain. They are eternal, once created by the living God. They do not die in the sense of disappearing, no longer existing. The same is true of Jesus Christ, with one exception, that he was never created as a being. He always existed with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. His physical body died, but his inner self is and was always eternal. The incarnation of Christ did not mean Christ stepped out of deity, but rather deity stepped into humanity. And unless you receive the fact that he came and died for you, you cannot be saved. He is much more than a good man. He is much more than a prophet. He is the Son of God, the creator of the universe, who came to live and to die on your behalf. Thus he has declared about himself in John 6:33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, a lot of confusion begins to pop out of here. People get really confused when Jesus uses this term. What brings the confusion on? Well, notice in John 6:52, the Jews were disputing among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" In John 6:33, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.'" Now, where's the confusion come in? Well, Jesus is not talking about eating his physical flesh and drinking his blood, but participating in what he did for you, receiving him as Savior, participating in his death, burial, resurrection, in the sense that you confess him as Lord and Savior, and you realize what he did on your behalf. It's not literal, though some people teach that when you take communion, you're actually drinking the blood of Jesus and you're eating his flesh, and that's not accurate at all. I want you to notice what the law said. Leviticus 17:10, "If any one of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for you and for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for life." And what Jesus is talking about is participating in what he did on our behalf. He came and he lived a sinless life. He died and was crucified for you and for me. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And unless we confess that and believe that and receive him as Savior, we cannot participate in that. That's what he's talking about, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now, one of the clearest ways to see this is when the Lord instituted communion. In Luke 22:19, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said to them, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Is that bread that he's breaking becoming his body that he's breaking? No, his body's right there. He's doing the physical act of breaking the bread. In a sense, this is my representation of my body which is broken for you. This has been done for you. And the bread is representing what was done for him. And so he takes it, he gives thanks, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup. He takes the cup after they ate, and then the cup said, "This cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood." He's not bleeding. It's representation of his shed blood, what's going to happen for him. His blood hasn't even been shed at this time. But it's a picture for us to constantly remember. It was Christ whose body was broken on our behalf. It was Christ whose blood was shed on our behalf. This is blood is the blood of the new covenant. And then, of course, Christ was in the body when all this took place. It is a figurative understanding. Just as the sacrifices were made and the animal's blood was shed on behalf of people in the Old Testament, so the picture of Christ dying on a cross was his blood shed for us, his body broken for us. John 12:31. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard that from the law that Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Tradition had it that the Son of Man, the Messiah, would come and set up his throne and reign forever. They couldn't even grasp what Jesus was saying, because their picture of the Messiah was, he's coming as a king, he's going to destroy all of our enemies and put up his throne. But they're missing the main point. The main point that before he comes as king, he comes as Savior and dies on behalf of mankind. So tradition had it the Messiah would set up a kingdom. Listen to why they had that tradition. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Yes, yes, he is coming. Yes, he will set up a kingdom. But first he came to die for the sins of men and women, to die for the sins of all humanity. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that he has died for us all, there will come a time when he will come as reigning king. We're waiting for that time. As I get older, I say, "Lord, could it happen before I go? Wouldn't that be nice? I don't have to see the undertaker, I just see the uppertaker." He's coming. And I'm waiting for that day. And it could be, we say, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. We don't know. But this we know. He came once. He died on the cross so that we could have salvation. We could be forgiven of our sins. And now he is coming again to receive us unto himself. I am waiting for that day. I'm eager for that day. But a lot of people right now, because of what's happening in the world, are setting dates. It looks like Jesus is coming back any minute now. I've got signs in my office telling me when Jesus is coming back. Here's the truth. Jesus is coming back, and no man knows the day or the hour. But we better be ready. We better have him as Lord and Savior. Anything less is insufficient. So, he is the sovereign of the universe. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man, which brings me to the point we've been talking. He is the Savior of the world. In John 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. And he talks to her about who he is and what he can do for her, and giving her the water of life. And she's becoming impressed with what he's saying. And she's beginning to really grasp onto it. And then Jesus says to her something very interesting. "Go get your husband." And all of a sudden she stops. Why does she stop? She says, "I don't have a husband." Jesus says, "You're right, but you've had five. And the guy you're living with now is not your husband." Now you can imagine how she's feeling at that moment. But here's what she's discovered. This man knows all about me. He claims to be from God. And she believes. And she goes to her town and she tells everybody about it. And they come out to meet Jesus. Incidentally, that's what everybody should do who discovers the Lord. We should be unashamed to tell everybody about it. And then the crowd comes out in John chapter 4, verse 42. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." And so they've come to a point of salvation. This doesn't mean, incidentally, when it says he's the Savior of the world, that the whole world is saved. And we need to be careful about that. Some people teach that eventually everybody gets to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. Not the whole world is going to be saved. He's the Savior of the whole world. That is, his death and burial and resurrection was sufficient for all the sins of the world. And anyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone. However, not everybody will. You're part of the world, but not everybody in the world calls upon the Lord. In John 3:16, though, here's the promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him And every one of you, myself included, is a whoever. Whoever believes in him, whoever puts their faith in him, will not perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life. As wonderful as that is, wouldn't you think that sounds like the bargain of a lifetime? As wonderful as that is, not all people want Christ or believe in him. This is somewhat astounding, but how many times in my life I've tried to tell people about Christ? I don't believe in God. I don't want to hear that. But he died for you. He died so that you could have eternal. I'm okay. But the offer is open to anyone who will put their faith in Christ. He's the sovereign of the universe, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, but he's also the separator of mankind. And this is so important for us to understand. Jesus was at the Feast of Booths, celebrating the Feast of Booths, as was the custom of the Israelites. And it says in John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Now, of course, again, he is speaking figuratively, not go get a drink from Jesus. It's drink of the water of life. Come to know who he is. John 7:38, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And when the people heard these words, listen how their response was. Some of the people said, "This is really the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes to Bethlehem, the village where David was?" And so they have their facts mixed up. And because they have their facts mixed up, they don't respond in a positive way to Jesus. In John 7:43, "So there was a division among the people over him." And then it says, "Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him." So it is as John has written to us in John 3:19. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Sam mentioned how decorative it is in all the different places you go and shopping. So I was shopping and I said, "Oh yeah, there's Santa Claus. Oh yeah, there's Christmas trees. Oh yeah, there's Christmas lights." What's missing from so many things at Christmas time? Jesus. Jesus is missing from so many at Christmas time. It's about parties, it's about lightheartedness, it's about fun. But he is crying out to a dying world, "I came into this world that you might have life." And we're so sidetracked. And I believe that's the work of the devil. Get us into all kinds of side issues and miss the real issue. Jesus came into the world, and yet people loved darkness more than light. What a great tragedy that happens year after year after year. Well, here's the next thing we need to know. He's the separator of mankind, but he's the soon coming king. John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." Now, for some of you that are used to the old King James, it used to say mansions. That was really a misunderstanding of the word. It's more like condos. "In my Father's house are many condos." You're going to get a condo in heaven, just in case you didn't know. And condos in those days were built like this, and you had a center place where every person got together and celebrated their relationships one with the other. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you," notice this, "I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Where I am, you may be. That's the promise. That's what we're waiting for. Jesus is with the Father. He's coming to take us to the Father. where I am, you may be also. Maybe has two things. You may be, because I'm taking you, but you have the privilege of dwelling with me for eternity, because you have put your faith and your trust in me. That's what Jesus tells us. And yet, with all the wonderful promises that we have, with all that God has done on our behalf, there are still some who will say no to Jesus. I find that shocking, isn't it? Robert C. Shannon tells a story about when many savings and loan institutions failed in 1989. At that time, the federal government had to dispose of numerous properties. One of the most interesting ones was the 6-acre Nikun Mansion in Paradise Valley, Arizona. It was built in the 1960s by Walker Nikun for his young bride. The house contains 53,000 square feet and includes an ice skating rink, an Olympic swimming pool, a 14-car garage, its own beauty salon, a guest house, and a ballroom with an $80,000 chandelier. Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Yeah. However, oddly enough, Mrs. Nikun didn't like it and refused to move in, and she never lived in the house. That's like so many. Jesus is offering us the best, the greatest. And so many people say, not for me, not for me. But Jesus is preparing a place for us. And for anyone who will move in, he is soon to return. Are you packed and ready to go? Are you waiting for that day? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Have you repented of that and said, I want to save you? Ask him to be your Savior. Said, I trust in you. I believe in you. I will put all that I have in my faith in you. And then when he comes, there'll be no refusal. You'll be going with him. Jesus is the sovereign of the universe, the Son of God, the Son of man, the Savior of the world, the separator of mankind, and he is the soon coming King. Hebrews 12:25 says this, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. You want a Merry Christmas? Know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not what comes wrapped up. It's what has happened in your heart. And you'll have the assurance of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. And that's the invitation today for you, to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray together. Lord, may no one sit here today and think lightly about the Lord Jesus Christ. May everyone here truly bow their head and say, I know Jesus. Or, if not, I want Jesus. I want that forgiveness of sins. I want that eternal life. I need that Savior. And Lord, may you work a wonder in their lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.